When David Booth first got traded to the Vancouver Canucks, a lot of people were excited because now we had a legitimate and somewhat young talent to go on the second line with Ryan Kesler. We at Pucked in the Head, however, had bigger fish to fry. We were interested in what kind of nicknames this young man would bring with him. Surely he would have something interesting. Something about telephone. You know, telephone booth. After all, the Canucks play in Rogers Arena, right? Telephone, phone, the operator, surely there's something there. Switchboard. Who knows, maybe it's something restaurant related. You know, we could call him Table for Four. The Florida Panthers, however, what did they come up with? Well, they used to call him Bootsy. That's right, Bootsy. The Florida Panthers named David Booth after some 8-year-old's cat. Nice work, fellas. Once he got to Vancouver, of course, our guys know how to treat people. After all, these are the people who call Sammy Salo Sammy, and they call Alexander Burrows Burr. Surely they had something ingenious in mind. Kevin Bieksa, the trickster defenseman, he's the Loki of the Vancouver Canuck dressing room. He came up with Grizz. Because you see, David Booth likes to hunt bear in the summertime. So they called him Grizz. We here at Pucked in the Head like things that are a little bit more ingenious than that. So a few months ago, we got together with our friends Kennedy Goodkey and Dr. Rob Toswell, and we talked about the top 7 Canuck nicknames of all time. That episode ran a little bit long, so we cut it in half. This here is part 2. We hope you enjoy. Episode 31 was quite some time ago, so if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, by all means, go back and find it. Again, that's episode 31, the top 7 Canuck nicknames of all time, part 1. Here's a quick recap. Spoiler alert! If you can indeed call recapping and a months old episode spoiler alert. Anyway, so number 7 was the Russian Rocket Pavel Bure. Number 6 was Gary Bones Bromley, a 70s Canuck goaltender who eventually had an amazing fiberglass mask painted based on that nickname. Number 5 was Ken Spider Lockett, holder of a rather interesting Canuck record, which Roberto Luongo recently broke. And number 4 was Jeff Cowan, the Brawberian. Great story. Check out episode 31 if you're interested in that. Thank you very much to our guest, Kennedy Goodkey, local actor and filmmaker. He not only does some film-related podcasting, he was one of the forces behind The Beast of Bottomless Lake, also available on Super Channel, and you can also get the DVD through Provo Films. The link is on our website. Dr. Rob Toswell was also along for the ride. He is, other than just being an incredibly smart, smart man, knows quite a lot about neuroscience, headshots, concussions, that sort of thing. We'll be having him on to talk about the brain and how it relates to professional sport at a later time. Now, without further ado, here we go. Episode number 40, the top 7 Canuck nicknames of all time, part 2. Enjoy. Number 3, Gary Smith. We mentioned earlier when we talked about Ken Lockett. Gary Smith played professional hockey for the Rochester Americans, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Victoria Maple Leafs, the Oakland Seals, Chicago Blackhawks, Vancouver Canucks, Minnesota North Stars, Fort Worth Texans, Hershey Bears, Washington Capitals, Indianapolis Racers, Tulsa Oilers, and Winnipeg Jets.
Nickname the Wanderer?
His nickname was Gary Suitcase Smith.
Talk about well-earned nicknames.
I think that was 12.
He played for 13 professional teams in 14 seasons.
Holy snapping assholes.
Wanted, but not wanted.
Yeah, he was a co-winner of the Vezina Trophy in the 71-72 season. Wow. If you can believe it or not. In 71-72, he played for the Chicago Blackhawks with anybody? 71-72, Chicago Blackhawks. Come on, guys.
Oh, it's got to be Esposito.
Tony Esposito. Yeah. There you go. And this guy actually did play some decent hockey. He won a Memorial Cup with the Junior Toronto Marlboros in 1964. He earned the nickname Suitcase Smith after playing with the California Golden Seals for four seasons, 67 to 71. He set records in 70-71 for both most games played in a single season and most losses in a single season. And then he went to win the Vezina Trophy with the Chicago Blackhawks, playing with Tony Esposito. He played 72 games in 74-75 for the Vancouver Canucks, and he got six shutouts that year. In 74-75, if your name wasn't Tony O, you didn't get a lot of shutouts.
It's true.
There was a lot of scoring in those days. Mm-hmm. So
I think actually the game started with pucks in the net.
Yeah.
I think that's how they began them, just automatically.
Pretty much.
Yeah, let's put four over there, three there. Okay, go.
And it was one of those things where, I mean, Daryl Sittler at one point would just say, next goal wins. And, you know, like that's how they decided the end of the game. It was a puck would drop from the scoreboard up at the top. It was pretty amazing. But he was part of Winnipeg Jets winning the 1979 AVCO World Trophy. AVCO Cup.
Yes.
He was a teammate of Wayne Gretzky's in Indianapolis before he went to Edmonton.
Oh, we were trying to remember where it was, weren't we? Yeah, when we were... Sorry, I'm off on...
No, it's all right.
Private thoughts.
And when Wayne Gretzky went to Maple Leaf Gardens for his first game at Maple Leaf Gardens as a member of the Edmonton Oilers, Gary Smith was one of the goalies playing for the Maple Leafs. Huh? So, I mean, this is a guy who's actually done some stuff. Gary Smith also gave up the last goal in WHL history.
Wow.
Before the league folded.
WHA history.
Sorry, right. WHA history. Thank you. And it was Dave Semenko
scored
that goal. Dave Semenko scored that goal.
Nice. He'd go on to some infamy.
That's bizarre.
In his first NHL game, Smith left his crease in an attempt to score a goal. This was before the rule that the goalie could not cross the blue line. He got to the Canadiens' blue line. And J.C. Tremblay body checked him off the puck.
Which was not goaltender interference in the day.
Yeah. He told the Vancouver Province in 1997 that at one game he was frustrated and left the Coliseum, the Pacific Coliseum, in full gear and drove home. He said, it's really tough driving in your skates. Yeah,
wow.
He's an interesting fella.
I have a new Canuck hero.
Yes,
well, no,
Gary
not.
Suitcase Smith.
It's really tough driving in
your
skates.
Yes. He's. I knew about Suitcase Smith. I did not know all that about him.
Yes, and
that's
go,
fantastic.
Go wow. take a look at his picture online. There's a great picture of him in a full 70s perm
this
down
awesome.
To his shoulders.
Wow.
In the full gear.
And he's got a mask with a suitcase painted on it.
No, but he should. That would be awesome.
It would be
like
terrifying.
Billy Smith before Billy Smith.
Well, he wasn't really known for being violent. Like, Billy Smith actually was, you know, hacking, whacking guys in front of him. Gary Smith really wasn't like that. He was just a character.
But character, temperamental, trying to score goals.
Yeah.
Doing his bit for the offense.
Yeah. Wicked. All right, so there you go. That's number three, Gary Suitcase Smith. Number two, hey, guys, what do you remember about Stan Smeal?
Steamer?
The Steamer. What do you remember? What are your memories of Steamer?
You know, most of my memories are actually of him behind the bench, honestly.
As a coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, the way I watched hockey, I was kind of, you know, like, I didn't really understand it until I was almost in university. You know, I watched it, but I didn't know who people were, except in the most abstract of senses. Mm. And it wasn't until later that I kind of went, oh, wait a second, I've been watching this guy all my life.
Right.
Incidentally, first birthday, October 9th, 1970, first game of the Canucks.
Very nice. Oh.
So I have been watching the Canucks all
and
my life.
And strangely, the Canucks didn't have a decent team until you were in university. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, it took till I was 41 before they actually managed to hold first place for any length of time.
Right. What do you remember about Stan Smeal, Chris?
My most vivid memory is actually after his career as well. I remember being at the game against the Edmonton Oilers when they put 12 in the rafters.
Aww.
And I think I was 9, maybe mm-hmm. 10 at the time. So yeah, that's actually one of my first memories of being at a hockey game. Mm-hmm. I know I'd been to many more before that, but only little flashes. I actually remember that event. when everybody was standing and chanting "Steamer, Steamer, Steamer" at the pregame ceremony.
Right. Man, I was a big hockey fan as a 10, 11-year-old kid, and right around the time that 82 happened when the Canucks went to the final. And the Stan Smeal had, this much talent in his left elbow somewhere? Like, just not a talented guy. Every stick of what he did, every inch that he skated was all just hard work. He just plugged away.
He never left the ice without having done a job.
Man, the guy just left it all out there. And the fact that he didn't he score 40 goals one year?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Like, sorry, he scored 30.
Pardon our incredulity.
Sorry, he scored 38 goals in 82-83. So
close.
The year after they got to the final,
after the miracle. He was on a roll.
He scored 38 goals and had 50 assists for 88 points. Hmm. And that was when he was on a line with Thomas Gradin and Kurt Fraser.
Yeah.
And those three guys, for whatever reason, just played above their station, man. Yeah. I mean, they were outstanding.
Hmm.
And I remember Stan Smeal going in all alone on Mike Vernon.
Mike Vernon.
The defenseman closing the gap like nothing, because Stan Smeal was so slow, moving his legs, but he wasn't moving anywhere. He's on a breakaway, but the defenseman closed the gap like nothing else.
They went for a commercial break. And
yeah, exactly.
Came back.
And there he was.
He's almost made the blue line.
He was outstanding to be able to do what he did and become the team's all-time leading scorer sheerly through hard work.
Huh.
And it wasn't until Trevor Linden came along that somebody, you know, had the enough talent to pass the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that's a reflection on the Canucks more than
it is
on Stan.
I mean, certainly. They had a sad sack team for a long time.
Yeah.
Let's put this into a little bit of perspective, because as a junior hockey player, Stanley Philip Steamer Smeal won three consecutive Memorial Cups as a junior player.
Really?
Wow. With the Newestminster Bruins. He was drafted 40th overall in the 1978 amateur draft by the Vancouver Canucks. Played his entire career with the Canucks. And he retired as the all-time leader in Canuck points, games played, goals, assists, all of those things. The only one that he didn't have was penalty minutes, because Tiger Williams was such an animal.
Right. Yeah. Like if the Canucks were the entire league, he'd be Wayne Gretzky.
He's the Wayne Gretzky of Canuck history.
Canucks pre-1993.
Yeah, this is what was Canuck hockey for the first 20 years of their existence, was plugging away. I mean, that's why everyone was so excited when Pavel Bure came along. So, oh my God, this guy can actually skate.
A stupid name, but
they laugh now, but it's true. I mean, that's what it was. We're like, wow, this is what a real hockey player looks like.
Yeah.
So that was number two, Stan Steamer Smeal. So named because he worked so hard when he was skating that they joked that there was smoke coming out of his ears because he was just pumping the coal in there and just steaming his way along.
Okay, now before we move on, we talked a lot about Stan number 12 Smeal himself here. We didn't really talk that much about the nickname until this very moment. Really.
Okay,
we didn't really assess.
True.
You know, you're talking about nicknames. We didn't really assess the name itself here.
Okay. So Steamer.
Well,
based on his style of play.
I think
it kind of recalls a large dump, does it not?
I had never thought of it that way.
The legacy is destroyed.
Again, alliteration, Stan Steamer Smeal. You know, you're into the Russian rocket territory with alliteration there, Jason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm a big Pavel Bure fan. I watched the guy for a long time. I just don't like the nickname. Nobody talks about the Russian rocket. They talk about
Pavel
Bure.
That's
right?
Absolutely.
But if you say Steamer to anybody in Vancouver, they know who you're talking about.
They know who you're talking about. Absolutely.
So the nickname actually carries some cachet, where the Russian rocket,
nobody
uses that to refer to him.
In case we have listeners who don't know who Stan Steamer Smeal is, I should qualify earlier remarks. He was not named after a large steaming pile of crap. His style of play recalled a steam engine,
is
why he got...
A steamer ship.
Was it a steamer ship?
Yeah.
And actually, I think there was actually a Stanley Steamer, I think... you know, who's got some internets? I think that you can look that up. And
is there something on the internet?
I think if you Google
that?
Stanley Steemer, you will get more than the hockey player. I'm pretty certain.
So Stanley, like as in the guys who make like screwdrivers and stuff like that?
Maybe it's the same guys. I don't know. They moved on. But yeah, I think it is absolutely a product name.
Hmm.
You know, this is the Stanley Steemer, you know,
right.
Train engine,
okay.
Or boat engine or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As half of the people on this podcast pull out iPhones and go to work.
Well, we have Stanley Steemer Carpet Cleaning.
Are they local?
I don't know.
Tile and Rope Cleaning, Air Duct.
All right, I think we're getting off topic now.
I'm being shamed all of a sudden.
Oh. Stanley Motor Carriage Company.
There you go. Nicely done,
there we
Kennedy.
Go.
All right.
Don't trust the Googles.
All right, that was on Bing. The search engine of choice of Pucked in the Head. Bing, everybody.
I use Google, goddammit.
I veto your Google.
And raise you a Yahoo.
There we go. All right, the number one Canuck nickname of all time, as chosen by Pucked in the Head.
Drum roll, please. Jovo Cop.
Ed Jovanovski, and both of our guests just went wah, wah,
No. Don't mistake my wow. It's not a, like, really? You chose that as number one? No, I think Jovacop is actually one of the best nicknames that the Canucks have ever had. I do find it strange that at least one name is missing from this list, but
we'll talk about that in a moment.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah, Jovacop, absolutely. I've loved that name from the get-go.
Now, do we know where this nickname came from? Was it a newspaper scribe who dubbed him thusly?
I don't know. He came with the nickname.
From Florida.
From Florida, in the Burray trade.
I think he earned it in the Stanley Cup run.
That's entirely possible. His very first season.
In
the 95-96 playoffs, you're correct. Okay. He went all the way to the Cup Final with the Florida Panthers, and they got their asses handed to them by the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah, no, I think that it was just his style of play. He was a machine on the back end.
And he hit guys like he was made of machine parts.
Yeah.
So Jovo Cop got the nickname in Florida during the Stanley Cup run.
Yeah.
Brought it with him to Vancouver.
Came here, he was a three-time winner of the Babe Pratt Trophy as the team's best defenseman.
Which is, by the way, on display if you ever get to go to the suite level at Rogers Arena during a game. It's on display outside the Rich People Lounge.
Oh, really?
On the suite level.
I never even get to the suite level.
And it is sweet in all senses of the word.
Yeah.
Great two-way defenseman. Just did everything, much like his namesake, RoboCop. Didn't even need the force. He was just a machine.
But with the soul of a man.
I remember going to a Vancouver Grizzlies game that he showed up to. And,
my condolences.
You know, and yeah, it was a rough night. But, you know, he sort of walked down the aisle right beside us and sat down, you know, like whatever. Only the first eight rows were filled. But he had courtside. The kids in the crowd just loved him, you know? Like, they swarmed him like I don't know, tsetse flies. It was amazing. Yeah, he's probably certainly in the running for one of the best defensemen, if not the best defenseman we've ever really had for any length of time.
Right? Yeah, I would agree with that. We'll have to bring you back when we do our top
seven defensemen?
Defensemen of all time. I have to admit, he played in Vancouver for 7 years?
Something like that,
7 years? I was kind of upset when he left. Hmm. Not necessarily because he left, but because he left via free agency, so we got nothing for him.
Yeah.
That always bugs me.
Well, that was the year, I want to say, when the Canucks choked.
According to Marcus Naslund.
Yeah.
If so, you want to listen to him.
So the fact that he left via free agency is not as repugnant to me because they were expecting to make the playoffs that year. They were not in a rebuilding mode.
Sure.
So when he left, it was a decision that was made after they had collapsed, missed the playoffs.
But it wasn't his fault. It was Dan Kluche's fault.
You know what? I know you don't like Kluche. He didn't have a lot of support down the stretch run that year.
And? What's your point?
What do you mean, and?
The guy was atrocious.
Yeah. So were the Canucks down the stretch that year. You do understand my point, I'm assuming, because you're not an entirely stupid person.
I do understand your point, but you know that I have a long-standing hate on for our dear Mr. Kluche.
I didn't even bring Kluche up.
I don't need an excuse. Was there a nickname for Dan Kluche?
Beach Ball.
Besides Beach Ball?
I don't know. Klutz. I bet you it was something
like that. It was Klutz. It was Klutz.
Klutz.
Yeah. That's it.
These nicknames are atrocious.
They're terrible.
Now, Kennedy, you suggested, when we said Jovacop, you said there's one that we missed. So what's our honorable mention today?
Well, I think there's a couple, honestly. Goalies get all the good names, you know? And I think you got to go, I'm not sure the order here, and I think I'm in danger of stealing some of Rob's thunder. I apologize. So I'll start with the one that you have not previously mentioned before the tape rolled, is Captain Kirk.
Bravo.
Kirk McLean.
Bravo.
Captain Kirk.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Not actually captain as a goalie.
Well,
a little bit of unique
the...
Canada or Canucks weirdness.
And I can't believe that the Canucks, for their top 40 billboard displays at all the SkyTrain stops, have Kurtenbach, Captain Kurt. No.
I don't think I'd ever heard that.
No, he was never called Captain Kurt.
It seems like something cooked up in a PR office.
Well, because Star Trek wasn't retro in the 70s.
No.
It wasn't retro until the 80s.
Yeah.
So Captain Kirk made sense, but not so much the Captain Kirk.
Yeah, at that point it was a failed TV show.
Yeah. To be frank, I like Star Trek, but rightfully so. I mean, you watch any of those now, it's pretty atrocious. Fun, mind you.
They found their legs later.
They did. Okay, so Captain Kirk, I did consider it, but I didn't want to betray my nerd background.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
So that was my excuse.
Now, I would like to point out that Captain Kirk has a very ignominious record, which is unlikely to be broken anytime soon.
Which is?
His name appears the second most often in Hall of Fame record books. Behind Wayne Gretzky, against whom he was usually scoring.
Huh. So McLean scored against Wayne Gretzky?
Hey now, you know what I meant. Everybody knows what I meant.
Wait a moment. Patrick Waugh gave up 500th career goals against three different Hall of Famers. Like the 500th goal of a player's career.
Yeah.
Three of those were scored against Patrick
Waugh.
Steve Yzerman and Brendan Shanahan, I know for sure. Kurt McLean and Glenn Hanlon allowed a lot of goals against Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Because we played against them like 67 times a year. It was guaranteed that they had three goals, like you said, before the opening face.
Yeah. Actually, you have to wonder, would Wayne Gretzky really be the all-time leader if it wasn't for how crappy the Canucks were for many of those years?
Good point. Although the guy did score a hell of a lot of goals against the Flames, who had good teams.
This is true.
So there weren't many teams that could stop the guy, but I'm sure we padded his stats.
A little bit.
Well, in fact, you remember when, what year was it, 81, 82, when Wayne Gretzky talked about New Jersey?
Called him
Mickey Mouse organization. No, just look west of the Rockies.
Well, I always wondered, I always wondered about this, and even though he was coaching and they asked him about different things at the time, no one asked Wayne Gretzky about the New Jersey-Anaheim final. Because he called them a Mickey Mouse organization, and these guys were a team named after a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Nobody ever asked Wayne Gretzky he thought of that.
Those comments were entirely deserved at the time. Because that franchise had just relocated for the second time in about 6 years.
Well, they weren't managed very well.
No, not at all.
And they wore those god-awful green and maroon jerseys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Which were...
You remember those?
Which were amazingly an improvement over their Colorado Rockies.
Green
days.
Or more of a kale?
So Captain Kirk is the first one that that you would have liked to see on this list.
Yeah.
And the other one, of course, around the same, just before that
pushing
era.
Pushing back a little bit, yeah. I'll try and share this one with Rob. It was King...
Richard
Brodeur.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I mean, he's one of the Canucks' classic players of all time, I think. And I think a certain amount of it is just the general...
The Shakespearean-ness of
cleverness of his name, yeah. It just always seemed right.
Well, and as we said with Stan Steamer Smeal, one of the reasons he's on the list and so high on the list is his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly King Richard was, central to that cup run.
Absolutely.
You watch the playoff reels of both him and Captain Kirk, and...
Without those goalies, we don't make it.
No, like, absolutely.
Both of them were outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Highlights of both of their careers.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes. I mean, the stops they made in both in those two finals running the cup were amazing. All right. So those are the two that potentially should have made the list. Captain Kirk.
We could have thrown backup Bob Sensei in there, but I don't know.
Backup Bob.
Sensei. I've totally forgotten about him.
Wow.
Well, I mean, he was with the team longer than Jeff Cowan the Barbarian. He was. So yeah. His length of stay doesn't really. Yeah. And what was Esa Tikkanen's nickname? Besides fuck you?
Oh my gosh.
Well, he had a couple of them, didn't he?
Wow, I'm blanking. I remember in university standing in front of the vending machine getting my dinner and thinking, nice. That's nice. A really clever nickname, and it's totally escaping me.
I think he was just called the Tick.
As a Tikkanen in the Tick?
The Tick.
Before the Tick was at all cool.
Apparently, one of his favorite taunts for opposing players was, how many cups you've got?
Nice.
Which he would have got to say frequently against the Edmonton Red Line.
Yeah. I was at a game recently when I got to go onto the suite level, very luckily, and two rows in front of us, there was a gentleman there in a salmon-colored Esa Tikkanen Canucks jersey.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like everyone around him was applauding him for his balls.
I don't think that requires balls. I would wear that in a second.
Well, you have the questionable taste of liking that salmon jersey.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
Wow. All right.
Cool.
Can we get through a nicknames episode without bringing up our dearly beloved Harold Smith? We
didn't have now, this is one that you mentioned it earlier. So, of course, the nickname you're referring to is?
Harold.
Which, as you mentioned, Chris, is now how we taunt opposition goaltenders.
Yeah.
Not by chanting Harold, but by chanting their name that way.
Yeah.
But you guys are suggesting Harold as a nickname. It's not a nickname. It's the guy's name.
It's not a nickname per se, but I remember seeing the last few games in Pacific Coliseum where he actually went out on the ice and he had his great big mustache. He was going one-third the speed of everybody else. Somehow kept a plus-minus in the positive range. And the whole time that he would skate his very, very short shifts, and the shorter they got in the later days, the whole Coliseum was just going, Harold, the whole time. So it's not a nickname, but he certainly, something about that sound, the way that name is said, that is permanently affixed to that man.
Yeah, and certainly that, for the last few years of his career, every time he stepped on the ice,
it
was like that. Every single time. It was pretty special.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm dragging this out one step further. I think there's one other significant thing that that doesn't even make sense outside of Vancouver as far as names go. Again, we're going back to goalies, and that's the fact that we call Luongo Lou.
Yeah.
And that has that goes right back. Like, that's got a legacy to it that goes to the BC Lions.
So you're saying it comes from Louis Pasaglia?
Absolutely.
I think it totally does.
I think, yeah.
Okay. I've not heard that connection before.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is the number of times I've been out watching hockey games at bars, hearing somebody say, they're booing their goalie, that's so rude. And then I get to say, no, it's not boo, it's Lou. Because he's Luongo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right then.
Hmm.
No need to dwell on it.
I don't really consider that so much a nickname as a cheer.
Yeah.
It's a cheer that sounds like a jeer. And it has a uniquely horizontal history from another.
That is an interesting connection I hadn't noticed before.
And it still goes on. You can still hear sometimes when the kicker comes out for the Lions. You can still hear some drunk idiots going,
really?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this out. When I think it was even maybe Luongo's first game with the Canucks, I was at the bar where everybody knew my name at the time. And Falconetti's. The proprietor comes up to me and he says, you know what I think? We should call him Lou. because of Passaglia. And I was like, you know what, Carmine, that's a good idea.
And everyone agreed.
The proprietor of the bar was named Carmine?
Yeah. Yeah.
You live in a sitcom. Your life is a sitcom.
I have at various times lived in various sitcoms, many of which have never made it past the pilot episode.
Well, thankfully, your life has made it past a pilot episode, thankfully.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming out and joining us this evening.
Hey,
this was a pleasure.
This has been the top 7 Canuck nicknames in team history. We are pucked in the head.
See you next time. You are strangely anti. What's the word I'm looking for?
Against? You're looking for the word against?
I am not looking for the word against. I am
for
looking
a noun
for...
or
yeah.
Adjective?
Can I buy a alliterative? Get on with it.
You are strangely against alliterative
nicknames.
I don't like them.